Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Saturday Movie Workshop. And we're going to take a very deep dive today. It's going to be a classic movie for coming into true union, the union of spirit, the union of divine mind. And the movie today will be 1989 classic. Chances are, Sybil Shepherd, Robert Downey Jr. This movie is a masterpiece because it's going to take us inside the lives of, we'll say, maybe five main characters who in various roles are in relationship. And we know from Jesus' teachings, he's teaching us that in reality, we are one spirit, we are one Christ, an idea in the mind of God. We have never left our Creator, and we seem to be dreaming a dream in which now we are perceiving relationships in very, very interpersonal ways. We are perceiving family relationships. We are perceiving significant other relationships, marriages or couples. We are perceiving relationships even in communities, some of us, but the one thing that's in common is that our definition of relationships is still tied into the body. And the body is just an invention of the ego. God did not create the body because God creates what is eternal. And the body is definitely a projection. It's very temporary, we know that much. Jesus even says in the Course, surely what it's even made of is not valuable to you. He's basically saying, really? Flesh? That's what's valuable? Come on, let's get with the program here. God is a creator in spirit. God creates in spirit. And so when we look at human relationships over history, what Jesus is teaching us through the Course is all the billions and billions of bodies, trillions and trillions of bodies that are involved in human history, they're not created by God, and they're part of a hallucination. They're part of fiction. They're part of fantasy. And when you look at your emotions, when you really look at human emotions, so much intense emotion is tied into what we could call interpersonal relationships. And the goal of Christ's vision or revelation or the great rays is not something that is very common at all for human beings. Jesus says that revelation experiences are extremely rare. And then beyond the revelation experiences, which is just pure light, then a lot of people still have, some people have out-of-body experiences, they have near-death experiences, I call them near-life experiences. They have kind of glorious moments, but they seem to involve people. And so what we need is a tool that can start to take us into an experience that reality is much, much, much beyond what we would call everyday human experience. In fact, it's so far beyond human experience that Jesus says, if you experience the faintest glimmering of love's meaning, you have advanced in distance beyond measure and in time beyond the count of years. That true agape love, true unconditional love, true love, the real love of God is so, so, so far beyond the human experience that we have received glimmers. And yet the question remains, you know, like Steve Winwood's song, bring me a higher love. Oh, we're praying along with Steve Winwood. Bring me a higher love. Show me the actuality of what love means. Show me something beyond love of persons. Show me something beyond puppy love. Show me something beyond Valentine's Day, please. Show me something beyond candy and sweethearts. And I want the real thing. I want to know the real love of God. So in this dream of time and space, with objects, bodies, you know, stars, galaxies, quasars, and so on and so forth, this is the veil. And today's movie is so helpful because it's a masterpiece. It's taking our heart from the belief in interpersonal relationship and stretching us wider and wider now. And we're going to perceive that these five main characters in this movie, Alex, Corinne, Miranda, Louis, and Philip, we're going to start to see by the end of the movie, we're going to start to feel our heart go wider and wider and wider. And we're going to start to feel like these five people are part of some kind of a deep love experience that's broader than what we saw when we began the movie. It's like the famous movies of Time Traveler's Wife, another masterpiece. By the time you reach the end of the movie, your heart is bursting wide open, and you can't even explain why. There's so many classic movies that have the power to take us beyond our limited definitions of love and our limited definitions of relationship, that we are lifted up higher and higher into holy relationship, which is our connection with the divine, and then the holy instant, which is pure light, and then the disappearance of the universe, which comes as we go really, really deep into the holy instant. Then we start to realize what Jesus said, at no single instant does the body exist at all. It's only remembered or anticipated. The body is just a product of time. In fact, without the belief in linear time, which, by the way, the ego invented, without the belief in linear time, the body would have no meaning whatsoever. So we're going to go to the point of going beyond the body, and I feel like this is a good movie for that. Now, some of you are familiar with the concept of reincarnation. This movie kind of brings us, it's kind of a time loop movie, but it's not like Groundhog Day or Before I Fall, where there's a vast number of loops. This is going to be just a double loop movie. We're going to see our main characters kind of together, in a scenario, and then one of these five characters, Louis, is going to pass away. He's going to pass away, and he's going to come back and rejoin the group now in a different form. Wow, Jesus, master stroke. That's a good way to help take us beyond the belief in time when you have one of the characters reincarnating and coming back and he doesn't get his amnesia shot. Imagine if all of us failed to get our amnesia shot and we had our past life bleeding into the current life. You're looking over at your wife, Darren. There's Darren Reed. You're looking at your wife, and all of a sudden another face appears, and you go, oh, my God, what's this? Uh-oh. It's the previous wife from the previous life. It's kind of surreal, but that's the greatness of this movie, is it's bleeding the characters together. And it's taking us beyond what we would call a timeline between birth and death. It's taking us beyond that. And a lot of our movies do that. Whenever we get in a loop movie, we start to feel expansive, because when you watch Groundhog Day or Before I Fall or some of the great loop movies, you start to realize, oh, I can see the same mistake is being made over and over and over again. So, when we look at reincarnation, it's not that we really have past lives or that we really have a current life in physicality and that we may have future lives. No, that's part of the Gary Renard books. That's the reincarnation symbol. But what Jesus is trying to take us to is start to realize that all of these seeming lifetimes are occurring simultaneously. And as you look around now on the Zoom room, or you look around the room and you look at these bodies, they're all past thoughts. That's the one commonality that the bodies have. They're all just past thoughts. And God didn't create the past. So all the bodies are simply representing a belief in the past. And what we're asking for is the holy instant. We want the light. We want the oneness. We want to know the pure spirit that we were created as the Christ, and we have all these bodies. Now, I see Kana and her partner there. There you are. You know, we've played this out hundreds of times. We've played this out hundreds of times, over and over and over. And it seems to be on a timeline we played it out, but actually, it's all squeezed into one instant. We're simultaneously watching all of these images, and it's only the ego that tries to sequence it in linear time. So if you have an issue with any person, place, or thing, it's just the separation being reflected in terms of a form. And even though there's only one of us, there seem to be many of us. That's the trick. There's really only one of us, but there seems to be many of us. And the many seem to take many, many different forms. And the ego tries to tell us that we're attracted to some forms, we're indifferent about some forms, and we're repulsed by other forms. Whether it's persons, places, things, and situations, you know, it's all just a hierarchy of illusions. And God didn't create any of them. So the problem is that when we look through the ego's lens, we see a fragmented world where really there is no fragmented world. Where through the ego's lens, it's a hallucination of differences. It's a hallucination of different people, places, times, names. And it's all happening in this very instant. There is nothing more profound than the present moment. There is nothing more profound than the holy instant. Jesus, in his Course in Miracles, one point he says, try to think of this moment as the only moment there is. Ooh, big invitation. Try to think of this moment as the only moment there is. Now, we know that the ego's mesmerism and hypnotism is going to say, bah, humbug to that. It's going to say, I'm dealing with a lot of different aspects and a lot of different problems, and Jesus is going to tell us over and over again, all your problems have already been solved, because the time problem has already been solved. So time and eternity can't both exist. Time is fragmented. It's broken up into little bits and pieces, milliseconds and seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years and decades and centuries and millennium. It goes on and on. It's very fragmented. Time, linear time, is very fragmented. And linear time has absolutely nothing to do with eternity. Linear time is the veil drawn over the face of Christ to keep us from knowing the vast love that we really are. Now, what makes this movie a classic is Jesus knows that we need stepping stones. You know, he knows that if we went right into the direct light from a fragmented perception, it would be scarier than all hell. Because it is so vastly different, linear time perspective, the personal perspective from the unified oneness, that even our buddy Eckhart Tolle, once he had his big park bench experience, it took him a couple years to integrate and to be able to even function after that experience. It was so big of a leap. You might say Eckhart's an example of someone in more modern history who had like a quantum leap, and then it was like, whoa, stop here. I gotta readjust here to time in order for him to be writing books and traveling and speaking. The vastness of true love is so huge that it took him a couple years to kind of adapt a little so that spirit could use his body in time and space. And that's what we want. We want that higher love. We want that vastness. So in this movie, Alex is our main character, but it's going to start off with Corinne and her husband, Louis. She is going to get married. Actually, she's going to marry Louis, and she's going to get pregnant and have a daughter, Miranda, and then Louis will be killed as she's waiting to meet him at a restaurant as he's trying to cross the street. And then he will go through the change of transition and come back into the lives of Corinne and Philip and Miranda. And this time he will come as Robert Downey Jr. playing Alex. Fascinating. I've had this same experience in my life where my biological father passed away, and then my sister had a group of children, but with one of the children that she had, we were looking, and my dad used to have certain mannerisms that he used to do that were just very particular to him. And when it would be my sister's child came along, we were all sitting at the table one day, and we were talking about my dad who had passed away, and the little child started to do the same mannerisms exactly that my father had done. And we were all sitting at a big table, I think it was a Thanksgiving dinner, and we all just looked, and then we all looked at each other's eyes like, he's back. It was one of those he's back moments, because the family that you think you grew up in, that's just one tiny configuration of the past repeating. Everybody you think you know in this world, in this lifetime, you've come together in hundreds of different configurations. And if that's not enough to blow your mind, they're all happening in one instant too. It's all happening simultaneously. You're perceiving them all in the same instant when you're with the Holy Spirit. When you're not with the Holy Spirit, it gets sticky. Family feuds, issues, comparisons, grievances. Oh my God, the human drama of linear time is hard to deal with because the ego is trying to make a God substitute, and it's projected out 7.8 billion bodies that aren't really real, and then it's got them all on planet Earth right now at the same time, and then it's divided them up into roles, family members, friends, neighbors, politicians, different people in different countries that speak different languages. 7.8 billion seemingly unique people that aren't really unique at all because they all have one thing in common. The past. That's lesson number 7 from A Course in Miracles. I see only the past. What? All the snails are past? All the worms, all the birdies, all the fishies in the deep blue sea are past? All the bodies are past? What about the buildings? Yep, the tulips, the flowers, the lilies, the roses, they're past. The one commonality that everything in time and space has, and probably even the stars, even the galaxies, they're all past. When Jesus says in lesson 7, I see only the past, in lesson number 8, my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts, he's saying your only issue is a time issue. If you could be with me in this moment, oh my God, the love is uncontainable. The love is huge. It's electric. It's expansive. But to the extent that you forget that you're dreaming and you think that you're part of the past, then you're not admitting you're the Christ. If you can't be one with God and part of the matrix. You either are one with God, a spirit, or you believe you're part of the matrix. And it can't be both ways. Now, the thing about The Course in Miracles is fantastic is when you start studying this book, and maybe you study it for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or whatever, and you finally go, oh, I'm starting to get what he's saying. I think I'm getting it. He's teaching us that this world is a dream. But actually, it's not enough to know conceptually that this world's a dream. You have to really feel it. And in your mind, you have to know that it's a dream. You have to wake up in the morning and you have to, even when those eyes come open in the morning and you're stretching in your bed, you have to be the dream, 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 dream. You have to go through the day constantly, consistently remembering that this is a dream, because it doesn't do you any good to read a book and go try to tell your mother-in-law that it's a dream. Your mother-in-law is going to hit you over the head with a frying pan if you do that. You have to be dreaming and realize you're lucid dreaming, but you can't be trying to tell your mother-in-law that it's a dream. Because I'll guarantee you, your mother-in-law will say, I'm real. And if you keep telling me this is a dream, I'm going to hit you over the head with a frying pan. Then we'll see how dreamy you are there. You'll see some stars when I get you. You know, she's not going to let you get away with it. Because we have to go beyond the concepts to the actual experience of dreaming, seeing that this is a dream. Because Jesus tells us, as soon as we realize it's a dream, we can change the purpose. The world was made in hatred. It needs a new purpose, forgiveness. But we have to make the shift internally in our mind. And that's why no matter whatever anyone seems to be speaking to you, you can still be calm and peaceful on the inside, because you become more aware of that lucid dreaming as an actual experience, not as a concept. We don't need to start teaching this in the primary, kindergarten and primary school. You know, we need a new book. This is a dream. You know, because because it's not going to do anything to get it conceptually. It has to be experiential. So today's movie is going to take us in real deeply into a couple. It's going to be Corinne and Louis. And then Corinne and Louis have a very good friend named Philip. And Philip is very, very close, and he's such a good friend that actually he feels the deep love with Corinne and Louis, and he has this huge deep love, and yet there are the roles, because Corinne is married to Louis. In fact, we'll see the marriage at the beginning of the movie. And guess who the best man at the marriage is? It's Philip. But Philip's in love with Corinne too. In this world, that doesn't go over very well. If the best man's in love with the bride, the world would say that's a problem. Because the bride and the groom are there, and then the best man is supposed to be the best man, not in love with the bride. But what this movie is taking us toward is inclusive love. Inclusive love is in the heart, is in the mind. It's divine love. It's not based on roles. It's not based on who's with who. This is a love that goes actually beyond gossip. This is a love that's so all-inclusive that it doesn't care who's with who, because in the present moment it knows everyone's with everyone. So it doesn't need to make all these distinctions, who's with who. And an inclusive love, that's why Jesus needed 9 chapters between chapter 15 to 24, because basically in those chapters on special relationships that Jesus says, in this world, love is seen, is perceived as exclusive. Does anybody have that experience that in this world, love is perceived as exclusive? You know, has anyone struggled with that one? Has anyone ran into any kind of jealousy, envy, comparison? Big time. This is a world that is a projection of the ego. So in this world, love is exclusive. And that's because the ego has made up private minds, private thoughts, private bodies. And then it tries to rearrange them in special configurations and say, these are good ones and these are bad ones. People even do that with the Bible. They say, if you're in a lot of the Christian interpretations of the Bible, they would say, if it's a heterosexual monogamous relationship, it's good. If it's anything else, it's terrible. You're going to hell. You're going to hell if it's anything but the first one. But what Jesus is saying is, no, you're messing up form and content. Love is content. Love is divine mind. Love is spirit. And all this specialness that the ego has projected out is the denial of spirit. So in reality, Jesus is saying, if you keep following me, you'll go into a light experience where you realize that love is one. And love was never to be found in the parts. But this movie is starting off with the parts. We've got 5 people, main characters, who are going to go through a very deep healing experience aimed at transcending the body, aimed at transcending this feeling that you're locked into something that's very tiny and small and limited, when you're really not, and never have been. So, sit back, enjoy the movie. This, I guarantee you, this is a classic. I think Kirsten this morning on Facebook called it a classic of classics. If that's not enough, Kirsten has called this movie a classic of classics. Woo! It's a double classic. I've been doing this for 5.5 years and now we're watching double classics. It's like going to the ice cream store. I'll take 2 scoops of mint chocolate chip ice cream. The funny thing was, I was on a trip recently and the host was telling me, she said, I see auras. And she said, David, you have the big blue aura that's just emanating out of your heart. And I said, oh, really? And she said, and over your head, you have this mint color over your head all the time. And I told her, yeah, I like mint chocolate chip ice cream. So, you know, it's all very simple. Everything you perceive, even the color of your aura, has something to do with something that you like. Not some esoterical thing. I like mint chocolate chip ice cream. That's why you always see me with the mint glowing up there near my head. So enjoy the movie and realize that this movie is a tool to take us so that your heart opens up and you start to feel love for everyone and everything, whoever existed. We're going to collapse all of history down to one instant and feel, revel in the love of this moment. So, okay, there we can see they're all three in love. Two of them happen to be married, and Philip, he just about fell over when Corinne kissed him on the lips at the top of the steps. He fell back because underneath all the roles, we are all in love. We're all the same one. We're the same spirit. We've always been the same spirit. We just have been out of touch with this deep love. And we've been trying to break it up into tiny pieces and rearrange the pieces and reconfigure the pieces. And then that's what reincarnation is we keep playing out all these variations of nothingness. Why is it nothingness? Because God didn't create the body. So what God creates is real. So it's basically playing with the images of unreality in many, many, many different configurations and calling them, some of them real and some of them more important than others. And you know, Jesus says, you know, you really only have one function, and that's forgiveness. And what forgiveness is just to see the false as false. Jesus is just pleading in the mind, saying, would you please join with me and just see the false as false? Don't try to make some illusions more important than others. That's missing the definition of illusion means not real. There aren't better not reals and worse not reals. There's not moral not reals and immoral not reals. There's not ethical not reals and unethical not reals. This is really deep. This is basically Jesus saying, your only problem is you're believing in something that God didn't create. And you can't do that because you're a perfect child of God and you can only know yourself as love. If you try to fool yourself into being something other than love, then you seem to have problems. You'll take on emotional problems, physical problems. It will seem you've got a mental distortion going on when the mind is in this fragmented condition. So Jesus is saying, wake up. I've already done it. You know, you're with me. There's only one of us. So if I'm awake, then you must be here with me. Don't cling to judgments. That's what he taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. Judge not, lest you be judged. You judge yourself as a person. You judge your neighbors as people. You're going to judge yourself as a body. And the thing is, God created you as pure spirit. And that you can't be both. You're not a divine mind in a body. You're purely a divine mind. You're purely spirit. He says in the Course that in the Bible, it says the Word was made flesh. But later on in the text, in the workbook, he says the Word is I am as God created me. That I am as God created me can't be made into flesh because it's spirit. You can't turn spirit into flesh. Mary Baker Eddy had it right on. There's no mind and matter, no life, truth, substance, intelligence. That's why people were healed all around Mary Baker Eddy because she was so into the fact. She knew God was the fact. She knew Christ was the fact, and that was what healed. We would say body symptom removal, but that's just the effects of healing, of knowing who you are. So we can see with Corinne and Philip and Louis that they all are in love and they're all besties. And this, I like this movie too, because this, there's a movie, wasn't there a movie called Two Girls and a Guy? This one's two guys and a girl. This one's going after two guys. And the thing about it is, you know, in the world, two's company, three's a crowd. Jesus is like, two's a crowd. Three's a crowd. 7.8 billion's a crowd. It doesn't matter. Bodies are bodies. They're all the past, and they have nothing to do with who you are. So don't get caught up in the configurations. I think yesterday I was on my phone, and something flashed, and they said, there's an issue going on between couples. And I was like, what's this? And it was like, it was Ben Affleck and his wife, Jennifer Lopez, and then his Ben Affleck's best friend, what's his name? Matt Damon. And his wife, Luciana or something. The two women don't like each other, and the two guys are best friends. There it is again. It's an impossible situation. Your best friend and the wives don't get along, but the two guys are best friends. They've known each other since Massachusetts or Boston, wherever they grew up together. But it's the same. Now we've got two guys and a girl, two guys and the same woman. And in the world would say, this is a problem. And Jesus is trying to teach us, no, your problems have been solved because you aren't that body, you aren't that person, and you've never been actually in a personal relationship. You've only had a relationship to one, the one God, the Creator. And that's why when people say, oh, I don't like Christianity, you know, Christianity teaches everyone's a sinner. Well, if you believe in bodies, you believe in sin. Okay. Let's get it straight here. If you believe in bodies, you believe in sin. Don't blame the Catholic Church. Antonio, Andrea, I don't want to hear any more words about the Catholic Church. It's not the Catholic Church. They're not to blame. They're not to blame. They're just as innocent as the rest. Because if you believe in bodies, you believe in sin. Translate that into Course in Miracle terms. If you believe in bodies, you believe in error. That's a little softer word. I know some of you don't like the sin word, so I'll use a different word. If you believe in bodies, you believe in error. And what Jesus is saying is, nothing real can be threatened. Spirit cannot be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. That's time and space and history and the bodies and everything else. Herein lies the peace of God. There it is. It's the Course in Miracles. You just have to get the introduction. Antonio, you did a great job of translating the whole book into Portuguese, Portuguese. But still, the one sentence is all you need. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. So here we go into a movie that's going to help us undo the boxes. Anybody listening to Kim Walker Smith's new song? Transcend those boxes. This movie is going to blow the boxes away. We are not going to keep our mind riveted on specialness. We're going for, like Steve Winwood said, bring me a higher love. Oh, okay, let's go. Let's take a moment to look at the belief in death. The ego has projected itself, which is a death wish, onto the world and onto bodies. So death and birth are both projections of concepts, neither of which were created by God, by the way, onto the body. So in the world's perception, as Louis's going to meet his wife in the restaurant, he's got the earrings, he's bringing them as a gift for her for the anniversary. This would be the definition of a tragedy, of a husband dying in an automobile accident right before he's going to meet his wife for an anniversary dinner and give her the gift of the earrings. But What Jesus is teaching us is the belief in the ego, in the mind, the belief in separation from God, that is what death is. Death is not organic. Death is not happening in time and space. If we look at the world as a screen of images, what Jesus is teaching us is death is not on the screen. In fact, you know, if you really want to hear what Jesus has to say of death, just go read lessons 163 and 167. Jesus gives a whole dissertation in the workbook on lessons 163 and 167, and he's not teaching us that bodies die or that they're born. He's saying you have a death wish in your mind, and that's the ego. You need to expose that unconscious death wish and release it to the Holy Spirit to be eternally free of the death wish. But when we believe in the bodies, I was just saying, if you believe in the body, you believe in sin. If you believe in the body, you believe in error. If you believe in the body, you do believe in death. Because it was death, the death wish that made the body, made the cosmos. And so to be free of death, you have to forgive the ego. You have to forgive yourself for believing in the ego. You have to forgive the belief in separation from God in the mind. And when people feel sad, you could see Corinne was just, she just screamed when she looked out and was looking out and she saw her husband hit by a car. It's not coming from the event of what's being perceived. It's coming from the interpretation of what's been perceived. If we had no investment and attachment to bodies, then there's no event in this world that would cause us distress. Because if you're aware that you're watching illusions, then it doesn't matter what configuration the images take, because unreal is just unreal. But the belief in death is the ego belief in the mind. So when we take on our function of forgiveness, what we're really doing is we're forgiving, releasing the death wish from our mind. And then, of course, we know from the parables of Jesus that he was here to demonstrate that there's no order, difficulty, and miracles, and there's no hierarchy of illusions. So Jesus would stand over a girl who seemed to be laying there with a dead body, parents, relatives all weeping. Jesus goes into the room, arise, and the girl wakes up. And the parents are astonished because they were sure she was dead. She was dead and she was not breathing. And in Jesus' presence, in the Christ's presence, she rises up. Lazarus was not only dead according to the world, but he was in his grave clothes and he was a stinking mess in that sepulcher. I like to say the word sepulcher, so I got to slip that in one more time. He was in the sepulcher. And he was in the stinking grave clothes for 3 days, and then Jesus comes, rolls the stone away, Lazarus come forth, and here comes Lazarus, who's been dead for 3 days. Pretty strong witness that death is not real. That's a pretty strong witness. It's not common in human experiences to see that. But it wasn't just with dead bodies Jesus was doing this. Remember the paralytic, the one who was who couldn't even walk, but had so much faith that he got people to lift him to the top of the house where Jesus was teaching, to remove the tiles, to put him on a little couch and lower him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus is in the middle of a teaching session in the house. But when the guy does this, Jesus' heart probably just leapt like, wow, this guy really wants the truth. So Jesus stopped the entire teaching session and said, take up your bed and walk. And the guy hopped up off of the couch and walked away. And the whole teaching session ended immediately because that was eternal life giving that session, and eternal life triumphs over sickness, over body symptoms, the paralysis, over a dead body. Eternal life just proves the unreality of the world and the unreality of illusions. Remember, eternal life and time cannot coexist. One has to be real and the other can't be. Because eternity has no beginning and end. And what we call time and space seem to have a big bang beginning, and it will seem to have an end eventually, because it will be seen for the nothingness that it is. But these are transcendent ideas. This is what the Christ is teaching, that God is real and this world isn't. That's giving it real clear. There's one point in the workbook where Jesus says, if God is real, there is no pain. And if pain is real, there is no God. Don't you love it when Jesus teaches like that? Oh my gosh, you can't misinterpret those words. If God is real, there is no pain. If pain is real, there is no God. Now we're getting down to nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Now we're getting down to the core teaching. So in this movie we're watching here, here comes the reincarnation belief where it seems like Louis now is gone, and yet, or he's in a transition, we'll say. He's at least in transition. He's going off to the holding pattern. But basically, this we have to remember this for our lives. What is the teaching is Jesus is saying, the forms may change. You may think the forms are different, but no differences are real. You may think that form is real. You may believe that form is important, but if you go in the text of A Course in Miracles to the Beyond All Idols section, there's one nice, sweet, short sentence in that section. And I remember when I read the sentence the first time, I was just like, and the sentence is, God knows not form. Four word sentence. Wow, big time. That is big time. God knows not form. And if God is love, that just means we could switch the word love for God. Love knows not form. Love is abstract. Love is the kingdom of heaven, pure spirit. Love is pure oneness. Love is infinity. Love never dies. Love never ends. It just is. Jesus says in the workbook, we say God is and we cease to speak. Wow, if those are going to be your last two words, and Jesus says that is the last two words, we say God is, and then we cease to speak, then we're opening our hearts to know that presence, to know the Creator, to know our Christ self. And in this movie, we're going to see now that the form will change, but the content doesn't, that the love that is deeper still than the form is still the same. It remains the same. It never changes. Love never changes. Love is everlasting. Inoculation. I see all of us got our inoculation shots. And some of you didn't get a very strong dose. That's why you went to past life regressions. Because you were suspecting that there's something that came before. And some of you have gone to psychics because you believe there's a future. You still actually believe in a future. Who here can raise their hand? Who's gone to the psychic to find out about the future? That's, there it is. It's past and future lives, you see. And Jesus is so playful with us today. He's giving us a movie with the symbol of reincarnation. And the inoculation is simply the amnesia. All of us who seem to believe that we're a person living in this world have selective remembering going on. We're only remembering a fragment of time, one little aspect of all the generation of all the bodies and images throughout history. And we have an inoculation or an amnesia shot that makes it difficult to remember the past, although I remember the first time I saw Shirley MacLaine's movie. Did anybody remember Shirley MacLaine, Out on a Limb? It's way, way, way back. But she goes to, she's having past life feelings and experiences. What about, what's that Albert Brooks movie, Defending Your Life? Does anyone ever see Defending Your Life? Yeah, that's where he goes to the past life pavilion. and he gets to watch all of his lifetimes from the past. But that's just a few glimmers. Most everyone as a human being has got a real good inoculation shot, a good amnesia shot. And the thing about it is, these are not real lifetimes because the body's not real. So if you want to think of it as reincarnation, as a linear thing of past lives and future lives and everything, you still can do that. But I remember one time I was doing a gathering at a house, and the mother had invited me to do a Course in Miracles gathering at her house. And so I went, she said, here, you can go to the downstairs, that's where we'll have the gathering, to just meditate and relax. So I went down to have a drink, got my tea, have a little meditation down there. Her son came down. Her son's like 11 years old. Her son walks up to me as I'm meditating, and he's like, you David? And I said, yeah. He said, I have a question for you. Now this kid is like 11 years old. And he says, is reincarnation real? How's that for the question, the only question that the kid has for me? He doesn't want to go out and play baseball or anything. Is reincarnation real? He said, no, my mom believes in reincarnation. I want to know the truth. Is reincarnation real? And I said, you want to try to understand reincarnation? He said, yeah, I really need to kind of understand it. It's important. So I told him, go over and get the remote control. And I said, okay, you're a pure spirit. You're in one with God. You're in heaven. And then you have the crazy, 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 crazy idea that there might be more than everything. You're already with God in heaven, but you have this crazy idea that maybe there's more than everything. So I said, so turn on the TV with the remote control. And as he turns on the TV, there's a screen of images. And I said, now, you believe that this screen of images has to do with your identity. And in fact, when he turned on the screen, it was a movie, and it had a girl in it. And I said, now, in this movie that you're watching here, you seem to be that little girl on the screen, surrounded by the family and the house and so forth. I said, change the channel. He changes the channel. Now he's a man. I said, okay, now it seems like you're a man. Change the channel again. Then he changed the channel. I said, now look, now it seems like you're a woman. I said, you're free to change that channel as much as you want. And you're free to play out as many configurations and scenarios as you want. But just remember, this is all made up, and none of it is really you. But you're free to change that channel as many times as you want. So it's not so much that reincarnation is actually linear. It's kind of like if you had a remote control in your mind, and you just kept trying to believe in sin, believe in bodies, believe in the error, believe in separation, and you kept changing the channel hundreds and hundreds of times, trying to find who you are. And so finally, the 11-year-old, he for like 4 or 5 minutes, he changed the channel many times. And finally, he looked over at me and he said, okay, how do I get out of this? The 11-year-old is wanting out. He's had enough. He's bored. He's actually bored with time and space and all the scenarios. And I said, well, I want you to change the channel just one more time, but this time will be different than the rest. And he said, how? And I said, you'll see. Changes the channel, and it's a priest. It's a priest in a Catholic church. How's that, Andrea and Antonio? It's actually a priest in a Catholic church. And I said, oh, look at this, a religious figure. Your last click, you picked a religious figure. And he said, wow. And I said, but you're not the priest. And the priest was standing in a church, and I said, and you're not the pews, and you're not the carpet, and you're not the stained glass window, and you're not the statue of Jesus in the front of the church, and you're not the beams, and you're not the physical. You are everything, because this is your dream, and everything that you perceive on that TV screen right there, all of it is all you, because it's all your mind. Your mind has done this thing, and you're all of it. You're the whole picture. You're the holistic view here, meaning you're just dreaming this. And then he looked at me and smiled, and I said, "Now you can turn it off." And he did. He clicked it off. And this is what this movie is. We're seeing here is that he seems to have been Louis. He goes up there. He's frantic. Marianne Williamson tells him, "You know, you've got to be reborn." She had a little level confusion going on there. She said, "You're a spirit, you're a soul, but you have to be reborn." We forgive that. Marianne is just an idea, just a past. And so he's now desperate to go back and be reborn in another body. That just means the form is going to change. For us, this is good, though, because now we're going to see it's going to be the same kind of family configuration, except Corinne was pregnant in the restaurant. And now when he goes back, it's going to be years later, he's a grown man. He's just graduating from university. And that pregnancy that Corinne has is going to be Miranda. So now we're going to have the five there. Louis there, reincarnated as Alex. Miranda, the daughter that he never got to meet, is going to be there. Corinne's going to be there, and Philip's going to be there. Jesus knows how to make a movie that shows us that we're none of the characters, that we're just playing a mind game, like John Lennon wrote, mind game. This is just a mind game, and this mind game is all based on an unconscious belief in the ego, a death wish. And that's why we have to forgive. We have to realize that we actually are the same one, and we are in love, and always have been.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.